grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Everybody, and welcome to episode 335 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Man, you know what, folks? I'm here to tell you, it's been a hot minute. Next week, you guys will have a treat coming up with a pre-recorded episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast, a pre-record. That means Chris is on the road. That means I'm out working. That means maybe, just maybe, the world didn't just like on fire everywhere like everybody wants us to think. Let's hope. I mean, there's horrible things going on. We do have a resurgence of the COVID, things like that. But of course, we expected this. This is what we've been talking about on the Dudes and Beer podcast the whole time with our good friend, Dr. John Hall, who, God bless you, Dr. Hall, with everything that we were talking about earlier. We hope that you can come on the show oh so very soon. And, you know, it's been great over the last little bit talking with him over the last year with all this and the sources having come out pretty much to the fact that, yes, it did possibly like 90%. Whether or not it came from a lab leak, it was definitely tinkered with, is what we found out from the recent Senate hearings. And we have kept track of things since the beginning and held to the fact that it's much more akin to the common cold than anything else and been tinkered with to be more virulent. So the chances of finding like a panacea that's just going to knock it out, like we did with polio, things like that, might be tough because it's prone to change regularly just because of the fact it's a coronavirus. It's just prone to mutations. So, and that was one of the things that if you go through and watch that 3 hours that we talked about, and you can find it from Forbes. I think there's like two other sources out there that have the whole 3 hours, but that is a lot of what they spoke about is the fact of like, hey, we knew they were working on stuff like this, but our chain of command, the way that we talk and stuff, just did not shuffle this through as a priority at all. The fact that they were building these programs, doing these programs. And that's some of what we will get into tonight with our guest, Susan Price, Gold Star Mother, analyst for and reporter for America Out Loud. We will be talking about her son, Aaron Kenefick, who was killed in the Ganjgul raid, one of the huge raids where they were obviously ambushed and the enemy had intelligence and they had zero backup. We're going to be going into that. We're going to be going into the Afghan war in general, what brought us over there, what kept us over there. Some of the major actors like General Henry McChrystal, who was, of course, investigated by reporter Michael Hastings from Rolling Stone, who met with a fiery death while going down the road shortly after releasing a book about him. And then how it even ties into the Benghazi raid, how all of this even ties into Benghazi and how these dark actors within government, these dark actors within our military, these, quote, people of the military-industrial complex have led us down this road and keep leading us down this road. And are we being led down a circular path in Afghanistan to just go right back in? That's the question. That's some of the stuff that we will be talking about tonight with Susan Price right after we come back from these messages from Podcast Cadet. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry.
specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies. Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com.
That is right, folks. And full disclosure, I am one of the founders of Podcast Cadet. We love helping people out over there. Whole reason I helped start that company is I love podcasting. I love this medium. And after years of broadcast production and being producers for radio shows, stuff like that, I had to help people do it on a different level. People that were trying to do stuff like this as opposed to just sitting around a table with one microphone. So we got together with a bunch of folks who are social media people, things like that, started up Podcast Cadet. Stop on by, check it out. Dudes20 is the code that you want to use while you are online checking that out. Please do make sure to stop on by True Hemp Science. True Hemp Science is home to some of the best CBD product that you will find on the market, folks. I'm here to tell you I was prescribed CBD by my doctor for my anxiety as a supplemental. She was like, I've heard great results about this. I highly recommend, I guess really it's on my recommend list. I highly recommend that you start using CBD daily, Chris. I think it will do you a lot of good. And those of you who listen heard my guest just last week, two weeks ago, who read my aura and literally told me sight unseen after reading my aura that my body craves CBD. That was wild. So True Hemp Science is the website, truehempscience.com. Stop on by. All their stuff is full spectrum CBD made with the spigeric process, same way the alchemists did everything, using every part, then destroying it, using the remnants, using those remnants going forward. Stop on by, check it out. truehempscience.com is the website. Dude7 is the code that you want to use to save 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more. And while you're there on your way out, using code DUDE7 to save 7% off, you also get two, like hand-sized cookies or brownies that are 25 milligrams each for free. You get two free 25 milligram edibles as well as 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more at True Hemp Science when using the code DUDE7. And of course, while you are there, folks, make sure to stop on by the Facebook, the Booking of Faces, to join the Dudes and Beer group. Man, we have been on the grow lately, folks. I am here to tell you, since we announced Curious Realm about a month and a half ago, episode 300, actually, we announced that we would be changing our name to Curious Realm. We are 15 episodes away from that goal right now, which is happening the beginning of December. And since announcing that, and even just changing the name of the page to Curious Realm, formerly Dudes and Beer, I'm here to tell you, folks, we have had a 100% turnover. Not even joking. We have had almost 500 people come and join the Dudes and Beer community, come and like the page, things like that. So that's what it takes. That's what it's about. Come on by, join the page, join the group, because the group is where you get all the great articles that we talk about in the Dudes and Beer News of the Week. Let's check out what some of the news of the week is this week. Right now, out of KIRO7, Stop the Vaccine Mandate Movement erupts across Washington. One of my favorites that I posted from Bloody Disgusting, the pulse rifle from Aliens has been turned into a limited edition Nerf blaster. If you are a nerd like me and love your Aliens movies and love a good Nerf blaster, I guarantee you there's going to be some neighborhood children that are going to get it with that one. From our good friend Brad Olson. Brad Olson was recently on Coast to Coast AM, trying to get him back on here to talk about the three possible massive crafts buried beneath the surface of Antarctica. NBC News, Taliban spokesman says U.S. will not be harmed from Afghan soil. Futurism.com, space junk reportedly smashed a Chinese military satellite. That was, of course, space junk from the horrible joining of the Russian Soyuz capsule with the ISS. Here we go, out of Yahoo News. Taliban holds press conference on Sharia law, women's role and women's roles amid the Afghan takeover. Out of CNBC, how much money does a single person need to earn to get by in each state by state? And before we get on to the rest of the show, out of thehill.com, Raiders requiring fans to be vaccinated. And as the first team in the NFL to do so, that and more over at the Curious Realm, formerly Dudes and Beer Group on Facebook. Stop on by, join us. Join the conversation, join the group, like the page, follow the page for all of the guest announcements, everything else. Curious Realm is coming along great. We will be soon switching over there. So once again, our call to action until we officially launch is Google Curious Realm. If you have friends and family, have them Google Curious Realm. Just Google it. You don't have to visit the site. You don't have to see anything. You don't have to do anything. Literally just Google Curious Realm, and you will be helping us out on that Google SEO front more than you ever know. Before we get started tonight, there are a couple of clips. Number one, let's get into some of the stuff regarding the Taliban, regarding Afghanistan. We have a great report here from John Bowne, our good friend, who just sent this in the other day.
Similar to the 7.2 magnitude earthquake that rocked Haiti.
That massive 7.2 earthquake leaving hundreds dead.
The Taliban is a force of nature causing tectonic shifts under a crumbling Biden administration led by the nose by incompetent Defense Department bigwigs that have mismanaged the effort in Afghanistan from day one, destroying the lives of countless American soldiers.
The United States will continue to support consular services, and that includes the processing and operations of the Special Immigrant Visa Program, and will continue to engage in diplomacy with the Afghan government and the Afghan people. Additionally, we will continue our focus on counterterrorism.
Regardless of Biden's half-baked prediction,
is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not.
Why?
Because you have the Afghan troops have 300,000 well-equipped as any army in the world and an air force against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable. I was up in that pass where Osama bin Laden was allegedly escaped or out of harm's way. We went for two reasons. One, to
In just 9 days, the Taliban took control of more than half of Afghanistan's provinces. And as Biden has done when it comes to the border, the economy, and COVID, Biden blamed the Trump administration for the chaos in Afghanistan, while Trump responded to the mischaracterization. As Biden's globalist mouthpiece, Jen Psaki, revealed just how disconnected this administration is.
The Taliban also has to make an assessment about what they want their role to be in the international community.
Anyone with any recollection will recall that the Trump administration bombed the Taliban to the negotiating table, as the New York Post recounted, after warning Taliban leader Hibatullah Akhundzada that he would come back and hit you harder than any country has ever been hit. If he welched on the deal, Trump made good on his threat and launched punishing airstrikes, the first time the Taliban violated the agreement. Since then, not a single U.S. soldier has died in combat in Afghanistan.
That they had to kill people in order to put themselves in a little better negotiating position. When they did that, they killed 12 people. One happened to be a great American soldier. And we've hit the Taliban harder in the last 4 days than they've been hit in over 10 years.
Biden, who has always regarded himself as a foreign policy genius, is now frantically upping the ante, increasing troops from 3,000 to 5,000 in order to avoid what could be his Saigon moment.
In April of 75, North Vietnamese troops approached the southern capital of Saigon. President Gerald Ford ordered all U.S. troops and citizens out of the country.
Permit the movement of refugees to the area of their choice.
In the early hours of April 30th, despite multiple flights with hundreds of evacuees and with time running out, Barry uttered three words that meant it was imperative for the U.S. diplomat to leave.
So he comes up, gets on. We fly out with the ambassador, and you make the call, you know, tiger, tiger, tiger. That means the ambassador's out.
I'm embarrassed that the United States of America is being humiliated and is leaving an area that we had come to defend, and we've been defeated.
As embassy staff are evacuated, the Taliban is setting up an invasion into the capital city that could lapse into a bloodbath. In 2001, the Taliban abandoned Kabul following the U.S. invasion. At that time, Kabul's population was 500,000. As the U.S. dug its heels into a two-decade occupation, Kabul was transformed into a growing urban middle-class center, exponentially skyrocketing into a population of 4.6 million. Meanwhile, Biden's reliance on a massive and highly trained Afghan military has already been defeated from one end of the country to the other, as Mazar-i-Sharif, the Afghan government's last stronghold, has fallen. Meanwhile, America watches a failing commander-in-chief in the first year of his presidency, mired in globalist directives, distracted with the targeting of American citizens and foreign policy disasters, vacationing at Camp David, when every American knows, whether they want to or not, that a real U.S. president wouldn't be able to sleep or leave the White House under the unprecedented pressure and intense scrutiny threatening their legacy. John Bound reporting.
John Bound, always laying it down. Thank you so much. We love the reports here. You know, it's strong words. It's hard to say, but we... Trigger warning, folks, the videos that we're about to watch, the videos that we're about to get into, the conversation that we are about to have, not only may make a lot of you uncomfortable, it should make every one of us uncomfortable. It should make us everyone uncomfortable, not only the situation going on in Afghanistan, the situation that has gone on there, the horrible things that have gone on, things like the Ganjgul raid, which Aaron Kinnifick was involved with, son of Susan Price, our guest this evening. When you're talking about the scene in Afghanistan right now, it is graphic. It is horrifying, is the only way that you can put it. Here is footage from The Sun, which was once again graphic, folks, crazy, actively showing people falling from the airplanes. There were so many people out on the airfield trying to, there was a gentleman that was crushed, that they found crushed inside of the wheel well, holding on to the landing gear. He was pulled up inside and crushed. Those were active people that you saw falling from airplanes, that were so desperate to get out of Afghanistan that they were willing to hold on to the side of a C-17 Constellation and try to take a ride to probably a Dhirabad or wherever the closest excursion point or extraction point would be. And that's just some of the really wild, shocking video to come out. Here's another one that just kind of shows the stark difference and opulence in the country known as Afghanistan. This came out of the Telegraph. It actively shows Taliban members riding around in bumper cars in an abandoned amusement park. This is and while you know, you see footage like John Bounds where it's a war-torn area in Kabul, this is the disparate situation. There are amusement parks in other parts where it's horribly flush. So yeah, that's what we went over there to do. Was help make amusement parks, I guess. And in addition to that, we also, you know, helped free a lot of people. We helped get rid of a lot of things. But we also, as we will be talking about tonight and watching video of, actively protected puppy fields, things like that. Now, the last clip that I would like to play before we bring on our good guest this evening, Susan Price, I know she is waiting in the wings. It is a few minutes long. It's about 4 or 5 minutes. And I think it's very apropos right now, not just in our COVID environment, but to what we're going to be talking about. And the reason it's about 4 minutes is because I'm not just giving you, quote, the juice of what Dwight D. Eisenhower says is, of course, like, beware the industrial military complex. They're here. We had to do horrible things. And we'll get into that. But listen to this man's pleading. Now, remember, on January 17th, 1961, when Dwight D. Eisenhower left office, he was officially at that point the last military leader. I'm not going to say like service member, but leader, like on the point of general, where he would have been in like security briefings, stuff like that. Yes, you know, Kennedy captain to P-boat, things like that. George Bush was in the Air Force Reserve. Lord knows Papa Bush had a few letters behind his name and was a director of an alphabet agency. However, Dwight D. Eisenhower was the last guy who was actively a general in our army before it became the army that we know now. And I think that resonates in more way than one, because what a lot of people don't realize is that the army is the reluctant arm of politics. Regardless, the world over, history over, the army is the reluctant arm of politics. It's the arm that you do not want to swing. But it happens, and it's horrible. So here for the next 4 minutes, let's listen to the wise, incredibly wise words of former General Dwight D. Eisenhower as he departs his charged office of President of the United States on January 17th, 1961.
Our basic purposes have been to keep the peace, to foster progress in human achievement, and to enhance liberty, dignity, and integrity among peoples and among nations. To strive for less would be unworthy of a free and religious people. Any failure traceable to arrogance or our lack of comprehension or readiness to sacrifice would inflict upon us grievous hurt, both at home and abroad. Progress toward these noble goals is persistently threatened by the conflict now engulfing the world. It commands our whole attention, absorbs our very beings. We face a hostile ideology, global in scope, atheistic in character, ruthless in purpose, and insidious in method. Unhappily, the danger it poses promises to be of indefinite duration. To meet it successfully, there is call for not so much the emotional and transitory sacrifices of crisis, but rather those which enable us to carry forward steadily, surely, and without complaint, the burdens of a prolonged and complex struggle with liberty the stake. Only thus shall we remain, despite every provocation, on our charted course toward permanent peace and human betterment. Crises there will continue to be. In meeting them, whether foreign or domestic, great or small, there is a recurring temptation to feel that some spectacular and costly action could become the miraculous solution to all current difficulties. A huge increase in newer elements of our defenses. Development of unrealistic programs to cure every ill in agriculture. A dramatic expansion in basic and applied research. These and many other possibilities, each possibly promising in itself, may be suggested as the only way to the road we wish to travel. But each proposal must be weighed in the light of a broader consideration, the need to maintain balance in and among national programs. Balance between the private and the public economy. Balance between the cost and hoped for advantages. Balance between the clearly necessary and the comfortably desirable. Balance between our essential requirements as a nation and the duties imposed by the nation upon the individual. Balance between actions of the moment and the national welfare of the future. Good judgment seeks balance and progress. Lack of it eventually finds imbalance and frustration. The record of many decades stands as proof that our people and their government have, in the main, understood these truths and have responded to them well in the face of threat and stress. But threats, new in kind or degree, constantly arise. Of these, I mention two only. A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals.
Amen.
So our security and liberty may prosper together.
And with that, welcome back to the program, Gold Star Mother, analyst and reporter for America Out Loud, Susan Price. How are you doing this evening? Thank you so much for the long, long wait of an intro.
Well, thank you, Chris, and I'm glad to be here. Hello, everybody. I missed you guys. And, it's been going on 12 years, September 8th, that my son was taken from us, was set up by the State Department and the Alphabet Groups. And so, and the calamity just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Well, and, you know, here in just a second, we will get into the details of the Ganga raid and the circumstances behind your son's death. Because, as I say, I want to kind of set this up as a triangle this evening, with that at the top leading down to Michael Hastings on one side and Benghazi on the other.
Right,
with the whole future down at the bottom. Because I mean, as Dwight D. Eisenhower said there, and you know, in our pre-show conversation, it had never really dawned on me until I started listening to it again in my head that, like, if you listen to the beginning of that, I mean, number one, I've always been struck by the desperation in his voice and the urgency with which he is speaking, because mm-hmm. he's literally saying, like, we did this and there is no going back. There's no going back. True. Like, we cannot unpull this string. We cannot unring the bell, people. All we can do is, like he said at the end, have a conscious and educated citizenry who is willing to rein these people in. And willing to go, hey, no, you will not do that. And we forget sometimes that even our elected officials, who are the ones who take us to war, Susan, are beholden to us.
Yes.
We forget the fact that...
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of it is the misconception that we're a democracy. We are not. We are a republic. Democracy is a form of voting, not a form of government. The democratic vote, hugely important. But remember, we're a republic, and in a republic, the power lies with the people who entrust their elected officials. So, I'm trying to have a whole episode on constitutional convention, things like that, like what it takes to halt the government until you figure it out, which we are so close to. But getting into the story of, not even the story, the facts behind the military-industrial complex in America. And when you say that, it's such a big term for people to think of. Here's how I boil it down to people, and to people like, I love my wife, but she is one of those that's like, oh, there is no way that there could be an overarching conspiracy that is held for that many years and is secret. Like, no way. There would be way too many people needed for that to happen. I'd ask you to question anybody that worked on a circuit board in Alabama for triggering mechanisms without knowing it, or people that were building other parts of Big Boy and Fat Man, the first two atomic bombs, for almost a decade.
Right.
Without any of America knowing it, and without even them knowing what they did on their job. They just had parts go by on an assembly line, man. They just put things together. And they did that for 10 years without any idea that their trigger mechanisms were being used, that they were making trigger mechanisms for bombs, that kind of stuff. That's kind of the whole joke, folks, behind if you ever see the stickers and meme stuff like GE, we bring good bombs to life. Because that was a lot of the people, it was General Electric workers, stuff like that, who were literally just building explosive devices on the daily without ever knowing it. So it is possible. It is possible. And it is definitely possible for, we've definitely seen it in my lifetime twice, you know, with the Iran-Contra scandal. We saw it again with what should have been something in Benghazi, because the whole forward base in Benghazi was definitely linked to weapons that went to Syria, to the rebels, stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah, like we've seen this kind of stuff. And of course, you know, you look at stuff like Barry Seal, even, who was running cocaine and arms. So, and even Operation Phoenix from the CIA, who were actively running opium into Cambodia and trading, stuff like that. So there are definitely actors with it. It's not that the whole government is set up in this way and we aren't aware of it, folks. It's not that your local senator is involved. But the fact is, yeah, there are pretty nasty individuals involved in shadowy areas, involved in special access projects, things like that, that are on a need-to-know basis that a whole lot of people need to know nothing about. And that's some of what led to your son being killed in the Gonjugal raid. So let's go ahead and get into the particulars of that, Susan, and let you introduce yourself and your history and your connection to all of this. Why you literally take all of this so entirely personally?
Well, you know, I started out just being a mother. And today I consider myself the mother, because I have to joke that way, because it's such a really deep wound to our family soul, and to all the Gold Star family souls whose sons and daughters, husbands and wives have been taken from us. But listen, I'm the greatest patriot, and I serve my nation. I served in the Army, and I'm a Marine brat. My father was a Marine. He's laid to rest beside my son. My great-grandmother was a Gold Star mother. Her youngest son was killed in the English Channel. We've worn every uniform in my family and served since the inception of America. But this is not the legacy I want to leave my grandchildren, you know. We need to be holding the criminals within the system accountable. That's all. We want justice and accountability. And I think we're getting pretty close, because the American people are really getting tired of the tyrants, you know, taking the leash and taking control and dominating through their trafficking and their all their illicit and nefarious things, and then in the name of false narratives, trying to make it look like, oh, we got to go to war because of this problem, and we have to save these people, when it's a different plan of action for their agenda.
Yeah, but that's just it. If like I said before, I introduced you, the horrible reality of the Army is that it has to exist. That we have to have it. Our founding fathers struggled with having an army. They didn't want an army. That's why they made the the whole Second Amendment the way it's written, where you're, if you're a man of age, you should have a gun, you should be drilled, you should know how to use it, so that if you were called up for need of your state to arm itself and protect the country, you're there and ready to do it. They didn't want to have a full-time army. We weren't supposed to have a full-time army.
Right.
And that's a big thing that a lot of people, especially in your camp, have decried for years, Susan, is the whole impasse comitatus. Even, and no offense to, a Gold Star family member, but even the whole idea that we have troops encamped among the people, stuff like that. It's pretty frightening, and the fact that we stay at a con, because don't forget, most of these have not been, quote, wars. They have been police actions since, and that's part of what, and don't forget, Eisenhower was a general, which meant he took orders from the commander in chief during a time of war, and only during a time of war. So that's a very huge distinction that a lot of people do not realize, is that those powers of the president exist during a time of war. So by calling them a police action, we get to go do them without, like, full-on congressional oversight, and at the same time get to maintain that machine of war that happens through us being in that state. So, and it's interesting. It's interesting to see that literal power play of the Constitution take place with these things. Now, when it comes to your son, and when it comes to his death, his horrible death there in the Gangigal Valley, let's start getting into the particulars of what led him to going, because he wasn't originally supposed to go to Afghanistan, correct?
Right.
So let's start getting into,
supposed to.
Yeah. I mean, it was literally like a whirlwind that Aaron got wrapped up in that sent him to Afghanistan and ultimately to his horrible, horrible and untimely demise in that raid.
And the thing is, what most people don't realize that are not military, they know, like, about a 6-month window, who's going where. Okay, so the forces that be, and you have your shadows that always, they live and they haunt the DOD and the Pentagon. They know exactly who's going to be where, at what time, and doing what. They know their blood type, their social security number. They say that they need to know every man and woman's the numbers so that they can order munitions and food. But, we know it's more than that. They're watching who's doing what. And if there's a hit on you, that makes it easy for the bad guys to, do what they got to do. And that's it in a nutshell. And so my son had only been over there 6 weeks in a few days. And, our whole family had a bad feeling about him going over there. He was an embedded training team, a trainer with the group 228, and the team before him didn't see any action at all. And when Aaron got there, they were set up left and right, and we found out, and it's even in the investigation report, it's mentioned that some member of the State Department had been to visit the village elders in Ganjgal, which is right on the Pakistan border. And, you can't get in and out of there without those elders and people okaying. that. But also what took place was a series of other events to unfold. And the day before, my son and his men, four-man Marine team, were up at Camp Monte, and it was an outpost up in the mountain area outside of Camp Joyce, the headquarters. And they had been attacked, and we almost lost them that day, the day before. And so my son took some shrapnel in his arm, and everybody survived. And Dakota Meyer, Captain Lieutenant Johnson, Navy Corpsman Layton, and my son, they were celebrating and thanking, praising God for being alive and smoking cigars and just talking. And a few hours later, a phone call came in from somebody from one of the officers at Camp Joyce saying, you guys need to report early in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, to the Camp Joyce. We're going into Ganj Gaul, the village. And so Dakota Meyer asked the interpreter, you know, what is this Ganj Gaul? And he said, it's a bad place. A lot of people don't ever even get out of there. It's a remote village. Well, what was going on that very same day, the day before my son was killed on September 8th, all this went down on September 7th, where you had the State Department visiting the village elders, asking them, how much money do you want and need? What do you need it for? And so they said sewer systems and to rebuild their mosques. Mm. And that same day, my house got broken into. That evening. I actually was moving out, but nobody knew it because I had done it over the course of a few months and secretly. And, I mean, you couldn't tell. I was putting things in my vehicle in the garage and taking it out of there. But when I came back from going to the storage unit, someone had broken in through the garage. They had used a universal clicker to get in and then a crowbar to get into the house from. And I have an idea what they were looking for, which was a computer that my son had when he worked at Central Command with all the generals.
And was that in your possession at the time?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
And I had just moved it days before. And that was something that he had when he worked for one particular bad general that I sent you that video with Michael Hastings.
Yep.
Yeah. That guy, he had worked for him in J5, Strategic Plans and Policies. In fact, I got to tell you, this is really odd, or maybe it's really a strange coincidence that that particular general was in a picture which disappeared from the computer, from any of the, you know how they got rid of stuff. But he was in a picture with another general, and it showed them in Ganj Gaul, the map of Ganj Gaul, the very area where my son was killed. And that picture was taken a couple of years earlier. It was really, really scary. But anyhow, you know, this particular general that my son worked for was also an arms dealer and worked in the State Department the year before my son was killed. And his brother worked in the, was the treasurer, deputy treasurer. And the other brother is the vice president of Oshkosh Trucking that has the $1 billion contract for driving the trucks to pick up the drugs. So all West Point guys connected to more West Point guys that did bad things, shady things to our valor over there, our other officers. So let's just say for over 12 years now, I've been following, almost 12 years, I've been following the activities of everybody. And they're part of the Biden group. You know, they're all best buddies with the Bidens and the colorful alphabet group. So there's the good military and there's the bad military. And my son had had words with this bad general and put him on notice because and called him unethical and everything because, you know, he knew stuff about him. And so that's the backstory. You know, Dakota Meyer and Captain Will Swenson, who are the two Medal of Honors, that's the front story. I got the back story. I'm the mother. I know. Even my son would tell me, Mom, you just know things. You know too much. And that's before there was ever the Facebook and the Google and all this other stuff that you learn. It's called common sense, reading, knowing your history, following the behavior of people, and just having an old-fashioned approach to research and putting the connecting the dots. And so anyhow, with that being said, the year before my house was broken into and my son was killed, I was the victim of a drive-by shooter on my way to work. And various other things. I had been followed the last 2 years of the Bush administration, the entire 8 years of the Obama administration, followed by the DOD, the FBI, the State Department. And also there were Blackhawks over my home and that of all my friends when I was across town visiting. I know it sounds bizarre and strange, but I'm not the only high-profile Gold Star mother that this has happened to. It's happened to some of my SEAL Team 6 friends and others that have a voice. And we're tired of this. You know, we want justice and accountability. And it's been a wild ride, Chris.
Well, and you know, it is horrible whenever you consider, especially Gold Star families. Gold Star families and people in them, as we put up on screen, like they're families that go back generations in service to our country in the military. So there becomes this almost incumbent drive to join. And to have the faith that what you're doing is the right thing. And when you find out, like your son unfortunately did, that, you know, Colonel Kimmett, who he was involved with and things like that, were nefarious individuals involved with special access programs and involved with dark programs. And ultimately, because of what he found out and had access to that he did not agree with, was ultimately sent on this doom raid on purpose with no backup.
Right.
With exactly. No backup. And when they called backup, nobody came. Much like the folks in Benghazi. When they called for backup was too far, oddly, like 45 minutes too far away to be effective. You know, just conveniently.
This went on for hours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And let's not forget that when they were in the remote village and, you know, they were waiting on the choppers to come and rescue them. And then there came a call from General Rodriguez, Michael Rodriguez, who worked at CENTCOM at the time. And he called in from Tampa, Florida, and said, you know, clear the airfield. Do not rescue. Clear the airfield and left my son and his men to die. I mean, that I got a problem with that. I'm the apple tree. My son's the apple. I come from a long line of warriors. I'm a woman. I'm the mother. I'm the mother bear. I am a mother bear. And I bring many mother bears with me, and fathers too. We've had enough. This is like going after the Romans when we know how they crucified Christ. We're tired of it, and we want our justice. We're going to get it too. We're on the right side of God. And that's how we're going to take matters into our hand. I mean, I'm a writer. I'm a researcher. And my writing stick is my weapon.
Well,
and I'm an intelligent woman. And, I you know, we're going to do this in an intelligent way. But I'm telling you, we're getting restless over here because we see what's coming and we don't like it. And we have to protect our children and grandchildren.
Well, and
they're not going to get any more from us. Yeah.
And I think that that's the danger that we're up against right now. Much like Dwight D. Eisenhower said in that farewell speech, we're up against something whose head has been raised and it is never going away. What we have started is not going to stop. The best we can do is curtail it.
Yeah, and the best that they can keep doing is deception, obfuscations, redactions. You know, it's just dereliction of duties. It's just one thing after another, and enough's enough.
Well, and the whole.
You know, it.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say the whole Afghan war has been rife with special access projects. It has been rife with violations of the Constitution.
From
the drone program that led to Aaron Alexis becoming a state detainee to, that leading to what eventually led to PRISM. You know, it's just phenomenal. And even now, looking at, and this is what I was saying about the fall of Kabul right now, because of course, we know that we started leaving Afghanistan months ago, and I mean, months ago, to the tune that quite literally. There it is from the AP. U.S. left Afghan airfield at night and did not tell the new commander. That was July 6th, folks. July 6th. As of July 6th, we literally just like leaving a crazy, ex-girlfriend or boyfriend just packed up in the middle of the night and left while they were asleep. Like left the cell phone there. That you had a joint account with and just they gone, you know, and that's exactly what we did. Now, there's one thing to a planned withdrawal, because we did have a planned withdrawal. I mean, as John Bound said, like we went and the Taliban were supposed to take over. It kind of seems like. Trump all of a few months ago was talking about how, hey, like we bombed them into oblivion to make sure that like whenever they take over that they're going to do the right thing. But it's different when you just up and leave in the middle of the night. And don't tell them that you're leaving. Like you'd think that you'd be like, okay, so here's the coffee maker. This is how you set the timer. Trash pickup is Wednesday. Make sure it's in the blue buckets, not the green ones. You know, that kind of stuff. We just left and left things hanging. And now not only has the Taliban come back, But as you saw in those videos at the beginning, it's frightening to see people so anxious to get out of Kabul that they are willing to risk life and limb, willing to risk literally clinging to the side of a C-17 Constellation.
I know.
Heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And at the same time, to hear the commander of these forces coming out and making public announcements like, hey, there will be no attacks on U.S. soil from the Taliban. There ain't going to be nothing from the Taliban over here. So for me, it's just strange that all this is happening like 30 days. We left almost 30 days ago in the middle of the night. 30 days later, these guys come marching back in saying literally out loud, we are not going to do this. So my question is, should I still just not buy airline tickets for September 11th? You know what I mean? Like, we are literally coming up against the 20th anniversary of one of the most politically earth-shaking events in the history of man.
The reason for the Iraq and Afghanistan war in the first place, because it was induced by 9/11.
Yeah. And, you know, oddly, once again, one of those things of why did we go over there when the guy's passports were from over there? You know?
Well,
which we'll be talking about. Yeah. There's a lot of that wild stuff that happened and where it was just like, why are we going to Afghanistan again? Why are we going there? And to bring that up, let's play the ABC clip here about the U.S. troops actively protecting poppy fields in
helping Afghan farmers grow that opium. Nick Schifrin reports from Afghanistan on a controversial new policy.
In western Kandahar, poppy farmers score, till, harvest their crop, and the Americans do nothing to stop them. U.S. soldiers greet farmers.
Can you show me which poppy field is yours?
They commiserate with farmers having a bad harvest.
Tell them I'm very sorry for this field this year, and hopefully it's a better harvest next year.
And in one case, they even paid a farmer $1,000 after U.S. and Afghan special forces burned his crop.
If you can come down to the base on my next visit, I'll make a payment.
This is controversial. The opium trade is the Taliban's main source of funding.
Around here, this poppy isn't only a plant. It's the very basis of the economy here. Poppy grows everywhere in this area, and most of the farmers base their entire income for the entire season on this harvest.
And that's why soldiers ignore and encourage the farmers. If the U.S. burned their crop, farmers would blame the U.S. for their poverty and turn toward the Taliban. I'm not going to lie to you, this farmer says. If my poppy were destroyed, I would be very angry.
If we secure them having a good harvest, now they're going to get paid for all their hard work, and then we can deal with the trafficking afterwards.
And that is the new U.S. policy. After farmers get paid, try to capture drug traffickers. These troops have confiscated 10,000 pounds of opium before the profit reached the Taliban. One day, the U.S. hopes to convince farmers to choose legal crops. Until then, the seeds of the insurgency will continue to grow in these fields. Nick Schifrin, ABC News, Kandahar.
That was close to the beginning of the war in Afghanistan when that clip came out from ABC News. And of course, I mean, there were even, you know, Geraldo Rivera famously was out talking to them about that. There's a great clip. I have it actively of General Petraeus at BYU talking about why we were out protecting poppy fields. And our listener, James Dancer, has come up on our chat function and actually said you are spot on with your analysis of things, Susan. And it's horrible once again to think that families like yours, y'all are quite literally, and y'all are the families that are chosen for recruitment posters. So if you want to, if you want to know like why she takes it so personally, because when you're chosen for recruitment posters, when you're chosen to go like speak at West Point, you are being asked to move and motivate a military. You are being asked to move and motivate people on your word, on your family's blood. You know?
That's right.
And not only that, but yeah, you're being used for recruitment. So to know that you, your family's actions, things like that, the stories of their heroism and bravery are being written about in Stars and Stripes, and those copies are being given given to kids walking into recruitment stations, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. How is that not propaganda? Is my question.
Definitely. Yeah.
And you know, well, I can see you, why you would be livid.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely livid. And the thing is, goats are families. We do not want our family heroes to ever be forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, their valor and their honor, it far exceeded the battlefield. They were leaders as children. My son was a leader as a young man, as a boy. You know, and always looking out for people. And here I had a bright light in the world, and then he thinks that he's going to make a contribution and to our great nation and serve our country. Because less than 1% of Americans serve in uniform. Isn't that a tragedy in and of itself?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The numbers. And then here you have the best of the best. He was the Marine of the Year twice, the best of the best, always number one in everything he did, and competed against himself and would say, Mama, I know how to build a man or a woman up without breaking them down. You know, always caring about the spirits of other human beings. And then you have the enemies from within, our domestic enemies that hide within these agencies in the military industrial complex. And they just see a pawn when they see our sons and daughters, husbands and wives in uniform. That's what they see. But I mean, our family didn't stop serving our great nation because we had to. Somebody had to. So we had to be the less than the 1%. And that's the gamble you take. When you sign on that dotted line during peacetime, it's not always going to be peacetime, people, because most of the time through the time of us being humans on Earth have always seen a war of some sort. And then you have these politicians in there, and, you know, I would say 3/4 of them are not doing what they should be doing for the right reasons. And, in fact, I just wrote a piece this week about the new governor of New York, the takeover for Cuomo, and I've met with her, Kathy Hochul. I've met with her twice. She was in the Armed Senate Committee, and she's the one that got me in to have the meeting with the Pentagon with the generals about what went on that day. And I, you know, I had to bring my Gold Star families and my poker face because I knew I was surrounded by frenemies. But I still had to go stand my ground as a mother and a warrior coming from a long line of patriots. You got to take a stand.
Yeah.
And you have to let your voices be heard, and you have to ask questions.
Well,
and I was told that I was just a pain in the ass because I'm trouble.
I think your son was too. No offense to him or to you, but a pain in the right kind of way, if you know what I mean. They don't come breaking into your mom's garage because you're the guy that they want to be around. You know what I mean? They don't go through those extreme measures of sending you on a one-way trip for no good reason. And these people that were involved with your son, Kemet, Colonel Kemet, they were definitely connected with people like
General.
Yes, General Kemet. Definitely connected with General Henry McChrystal, that kind of stuff. So with
and the Biden too.
Yeah.
Kemet's father was best friends with Biden.
Oh, wow.
The whole family. It's all the same, you know. There's other Luciferian generals out there that, you know, they're all from that elite bloodline, and that have tried to take down a lot of our valorous through the years.
Sure.
You know, I've written about them too, and two of those officers are friends of mine. You know.
Well, and you know
that one. Yeah.
Like I said, go back and listen to that. I'm not going to play it right now, folks, because we played about 5 minutes of it earlier. But go back and listen to that first minute that I played from, which is, just so you know, about minute 3 to 4 of his speech, Dwight D. Eisenhower. But it straight up sounds like he is talking about a globalist agenda. Like, straight up.
About
powers that be wanting to move things beyond our control across the globe. And it's in play, it's in motion, and there's nothing you can do to stop it now. And it was like, whoa. And to know that, this spreads into our military. It would have to spread into our military, folks. And to bring this point home even further, you know, your son was one of those that I think would have probably gone the way of Michael Hastings, not death wise, but career wise. Had he finished his tour, had he come out, I think he would have gone full on whistleblower and joined the ranks of journalism. From what he'd seen, the clearances he had, and the stuff that he was involved with, unbeknownst to him, that he became aware of. I remember one of the first times that I came across it in my career working in media was Michael Hastings. And to see that, and I've got a clip here that we'll play real quick, of Michael Hastings talking about his book and Henry McChrystal. And it was shortly after that he died. Here is that clip right here.
So Rolling Stone reporter gets unprecedented level of access to the man at the time in charge of the U.S. war effort in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal. So he follows McChrystal and his entourage from Paris to Berlin as they try to sell their NATO allies on the new counterinsurgency strategy and then to Afghanistan. What he observes, the drunken nights, the disrespect for their bosses in the White House, the anger of the troops in the field, all of this. These details end up in this July 2010 issue of Rolling Stone, and inside is one of the most explosive articles ever written during the decade-long war in Afghanistan. The title, it's right there on your screen, it was entitled The Runaway General, and it spells the end of McChrystal's command, bringing back here Michael Hastings, who penned that article, and he's expanded now in this new book. Have it here. It's called The Operators. You call it the wild and terrifying inside story of America's war in Afghanistan. And Michael, I mean, we already heard your criticism a moment ago. You know, you said, look, we shouldn't even be in Afghanistan, critical of the counterinsurgency strategy in the book.
Right.
General McChrystal, forced to resign after you exposed his conduct in that Rolling Stone article. My question is, did President Obama force him out for the right reasons?
I never really weigh in on whether or not General McChrystal should have been let go or not. I think clearly this wasn't the Rolling Stone, what he had said in Rolling Stone and after the Rolling Stone story came out, that wasn't General McChrystal's first incident with the White House. In fact, it was sort of like a three strikes and you're out. General McChrystal had been publicly critical of Vice President Biden a number of times, the White House felt very burned by the Pentagon during the entire Afghan strategy review. So I look at this as one of the steps that President Obama has taken to reclaim or retake control of the Pentagon.
Okay, one of the steps. There is a now infamous moment in this article that you expand on in this book. So you have McChrystal. Let me set this up. He's talking to his top advisor, Jake McFerrin, about Joe Biden, vice president. So here's the exchange. I'm going to read this. Quote, are you asking about Vice President Biden? McChrystal said with a laugh. Who's that? Biden, Jake said. Did you say bite me? Everyone started laughing. Jake finished off the back and forth with another jab at the vice president. For all their disrespect, you say Biden was actually the only one who was right when it comes to strategy in Afghanistan. Why do you say that?
I would say if Vice President Biden had had his way in the strategy discussions of 2 years ago, we would not be looking at that video that we just showed earlier today. Because what Vice President Biden advocated for was a limited footprint of American soldiers and Marines in Afghanistan to focus on the specific counterterrorism mission, meaning specifically target the terrorists, the Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, who threatened the United States homeland. That's what Vice President Biden wanted to do, and that's where actually we're on the path now. We're heading towards that path.
Counterterrorism plus.
And great coverage there about that story from CNN. I remember when that aired and when the book The Operators came out. I also remember the incredibly horrible, horrible aftermath, which was, That was the actual fiery car crash of Michael Hastings.
Yes.
Going down the road. There it is right there. That's the actual security camera footage of him just going down the road and his car bursting into flames. That happened shortly after this report, that happened shortly after this book was released. It was pretty phenomenal. I remember that being one of the moments that stuck out in my mind is like, wow, that guy was just killed.
I remember it too. And I remember thinking, I know some of the people involved.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be...
Because you do this work for years and you see who's... It's the same people all the time. It's the same architects of demise, the same cast of demented characters. And,
Well, and that's just it. Much like the American Revolution, only 20% of the standing public took place in. Much like you were saying, only 1% of our populace signs up to serve.
Yeah.
It's the same way with these dark actors. It's the same way with these people that are involved in this shadowy other side, folks. It is not the great majority. It is not the majority of your senators, your congressmen that are tied in with the military-industrial complex, taking backdoor money to let special access programs happen. It is not the majority of them. Most of them are blind, deaf, and dumb to the situation going on. Much like the majority of America, which is why one of our greatest generals ever, Dwight D. Eisenhower, said it takes an informed public to keep this in check. It takes an informed public, a public that knows this is happening, is willing to accept that it's happening and willing to say, hey, I'm here to keep that in check. And
once you know it's happening, you can't sleep. It just becomes, you look at the holidays and everyday life differently than before. It becomes a burden, but yet, you know, in a way, it becomes a gift, because it's the gift for your children and your grandchildren, because you know what's going on and you protect them. But it's a burden because we are the watchmen and women, and we're doing the work, and it's just a lot of sleepless nights.
Well, you know, it really does. You have a different connection to this story and to this cause and to all of this than the average person, not only because you served, but because of your family's service and your family's sacrifice and your son's sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You were, much like him, pulled into this gyre. And I say gyre because gyre is normally associated with trash. It's, it's like a whirlpool of trash.
Definitely fate and destiny brought us into it. Yeah.
You know, it is not a path that you chose. It's not like one day you said, "Ooh, you know what? Yeah, I'll go to that secret meeting that I was invited to." that didn't happen, you know? And it's hard when you served properly and you see this happen. It tears you apart inside because you have a sense of responsibility. And when how is it received by most people? Because, I mean, of course, our audience is reflective of this message, let's just say. They understand this message and this mission beyond most. But how is this received by most people whenever you, even whenever you sit around a dinner table at a fundraiser, which you're invited to all the time?
Well, 12 years ago, people would look at you like you had horns coming out of your head. But today, people are, I really believe I've seen the masses awaken, and really they have. People are believing and seeing now because it's in front of their face, you know. What I've seen emerge from the battlefield and through the history of my family, you know, through generations and decades, Americans just got a crash course over the last few years. And so, you know, a blessing or a curse, I've had to live with this. And again, it's not the legacy I want to leave my grandchildren. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because one day you may say, "Nana, what did you do to make a difference?" I don't have to be ashamed of saying, I ensured your security and sovereignty in my own special way.
Yeah. And, you know.
And then that's the greatest love. Yeah.
That I firmly agree. I got to give mad props to one person in my life, and that is my wife, who supports me unendingly in the message and the mission of this show. And believe me, there are times, Susan, where I have come to her about whether or not to have a guest on. I remember when I was approached by a very good friend and connection in the security sector about having members of Anonymous on my show. Whenever they hacked the Minneapolis Police Department. And now, granted, it was not like an interview. It was more turning my, they were kind enough to answer a couple questions, you know, but they don't grant interviews. It was the fact of they'd heard my show, they'd seen my show, and they knew that I would let them come on and give their message unabridged. That I wouldn't judge their message, that I wouldn't judge what they were doing. And even now, whenever they send messages to the mainstream media frequently, they don't even air them, you know, because they consider them in that, quote, extremist camp.
Yeah.
And once again, folks, go through and read some FBI documents. Feel free to read, scarily enough, school curriculums. Sadly, our founding fathers would literally, by all of those definitions, be considered an extremist. by every one of those definitions, would have been an extremist. Guaranteed right. that the other 80% of the populace was pointing and yelling and going, good God, stop. When they were actively poking the bear. You know?
Yeah.
But it only took that 1 out of 5. It only took that 20% for us to prevail over that oppression, over that darkness. It only took that 20%. And that's what we have to remember is we may seem extremist, but and granted, you know, I'm no a lot of things. I'm not even going to give a label to it. I'm no a lot of things. All right. But what I am is an open-hearted and open-minded individual, and I judge nobody for what they believe and why they believe it. Instead, I choose personally the words of Voltaire. I almost said Jean-Paul Sartre. Voltaire, which are proudly on the front page of our website. I might disagree with your opinion, but I'm willing to give my life for your right to express it.
There you go. And you know what? And that being said, that's exactly the people of this nation, and especially the leftists, have more of a voice than my son had on the battlefield that day, calling for air and artillery support, which fell on deaf ears. And those that were in the air-conditioned tactical operation command, with this one particular officer, Peter Granger, from Fort Drum, this guy, he, very bad dude. I tied him in with the general from years earlier, and of Bad Kreuznach, Germany, and Baumholder, Germany, 1st Artillery Division. They were connected. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Too many coincidences.
Well, and
just don't add up.
It's interesting how, and granted, once you get past a certain rank in any branch of the military, the branches get small. Let's just say it that way. The clusters grow real close together on the branch. Is a good way to put it. Whether they're stars or oak leaves, what have you. Once you're up to that realm of rank in the military, you're in a small elite group of people. If you're in intelligence and you're a colonel, you know most of the other colonels in intelligence. Like, you know, there's only maybe 100 or so of them. So, you know, you tend to know each other. You're going to the same conferences.
This guy would be the third person on the roster that day. The first two officers were removed for whatever. One had to go home on leave. The other one supposedly was sick. And then the third guy... This one was put in charge of, you know, of the base that day and made sure that the frequency level on the radios was turned down so that people could not hear in the tactical operation command the calls for help from my son and his Marines on the battlefield. All kinds of dirty tricks were played. They were laughing at our Marines for calling for help. They got no air and artillery support, and it just went on and on and on. And these people got away, and they're living, you know, a really cozy lifestyle, you know, with a nice pension, with the blood of Marines and Army heroes on their bra.
Well, and not just their military pension, but also the fact that they are probably leveraged pretty well stock wise in a couple of adjacent ways into military contractors, things like that.
You got it.
You know, which is where their real money comes from. No offense, but a retired colonel might be able to live a comfortable lifestyle. They would not be living in the lap of luxury. And most of them would not be like writing books, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, whenever you see them like move into the world of private contracting, move into the world of being a, quote, consultant, that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to see how many of them go on to become not on the verge of political pundits, but really more a mouthpiece to the media. And very much like an assuring, like, no, you should trust this in this kind of way. And it's always very interesting to see that happen, to see which ones take that turn, and which ones, like Colin Powell, come the end of their stuff, just ghost. Because they don't want to be involved in all that nasty. You know? Before we let you go, because of course it's getting on in the episode, things like that, but let's kind of wrap all this up with us having just left Afghanistan, with the Taliban having just taken back over and once again saying, like, you won't see an attack come from us over here. What do you see on the horizon, Susan?
Oh, you know, I had a talk with myself today and asked myself that very question. I honestly don't freaking know. I could just tell you that people are getting restless in the camps where I come from. And they want justice and accountability, and something has to be done soon, because it's just not a good situation. Really isn't. And the fear mongering that's going on, and it's a conversation that goes as everywhere you go. And I've been living this for 12 years. I mean, nobody wanted to listen to me when this happened, but now I have to listen to everybody when I've had a personal experience with it. I don't know where it's going to go, but I, as an individual and as a mother, and myself and some of my SEAL Team 6 friends and some of my other Gold Star friends, we all have our own personal mission to make sure it goes somewhere that's valuable for the American people. And that's what we're working on. But it's up to every person out there listening. Do your part, too. Don't rely on the less than 1%.
That's right.
All the time. We're tired. We need you to help us.
The thing is, become an informed citizen, number one. And you have bled for this country, Susan. But you are willing to question the motives of our country. Consider that, folks.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Consider that. Yeah. Consider being willing to drop all partisan politics. Look at it as a whole. See the forest and the trees. And be willing to be ready to hold your government accountable for their actions. And for their horrible actions, and for the actions that they have associated you with by proxy. Like I said earlier, Susan, I can see you're indignant. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the average person out there, I used to just be the average person too.
Mm.
But when it happens to you, and you don't know if it's going to happen to your children or grandchildren later on, brothers, sisters. But attend the school meetings, attend community meetings, get involved in grassroots Do your research. Speak out. You know, seriously, people, everybody has to get involved because, you know, what's coming, and I'm hearing things now from the medical side. I have family in upstate New York, western New York, and the doctors and nurses have had a really big gathering the other day, and they're talking about the shutdowns coming in New York with this new governor. And New York is going to lead the way for the rest of the country. And I can tell you, I live in Tampa, Florida. It's not happening here.
They ain't going to be leading the way for Texas. Here. Not that we're on a great track,
Texas
but...
Florida? That's right. We got it covered, man. We are working overtime here in the state of Florida. That's not going to happen. That's why everybody's moving here into Texas.
Yeah. Well, and, you know...
People get active.
One of our listeners also popped in on our chat feature. My ex's son was stolen from her by the complex and sucked into black ops through the Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point. What Susan is speaking about is starkly true. Her words are sledgehammers. And like we have said so many times on this show, whether it's you, whether it is other people that we have had who have had security clearances, things like that, it is so often a family situation. Because once one of you is vetted, that hard work, the heavy lifting's done.
Mm-hmm.
Once the family is vetted, it's much easier to recruit people from a known quantitative. So once again, that's when those Gold Star families tend to bleed more than most amongst that 1%, because those clearances do tend to repeat along bloodlines. Those ranks do tend to repeat along bloodlines, you know? Once again, thank you so much for your service, for your son's service, and for both of your sacrifices.
Well, I appreciate it. And I just want to say that I'm grateful for Buffalo, New York, who's going to be honoring my son on September 2nd and dedicating a unit at the Boys and Girls Club of America in Aaron's name. For his mentorship. So,
yeah, that is absolutely awesome.
It's a Gold Star families are just honored that our sons and daughters, husbands and wives are never forgotten. And like my son said, I love my nation and I give my blood for it.
Yeah.
And he did. And he died doing what he loved to do, but that's not the point. The point is that this is America, this is the world, and you still have criminals running amok. And it's up to good people like us with a moral compass. We can't allow it because our children are our greatest legacy, our greatest gift.
It's no good.
We have to protect them.
Yeah, it's no good when the criminals have rank, whether it's in a civilian or military association. So,
exactly. But thank you for having me on. And
always.
I'll come back again. We'll get into the other dot connections that we didn't get to do tonight.
So many. And, I mean, we could go on for hours once again of connect the dots and watch the constellations appear. Yeah. Like it's crazy. So thank you so much for your time, as always, Susan. Thank you so much for your connection to the Afghanistan papers. I'm going to show that on screen real quick from the Washington Post. I will make sure to link this in our article as well as in our documents page. There are tons of documents in here, folks, about the Afghan war, all kinds of things. Susan was kind enough to share that with us tonight. Please do make sure, Susan, please do make sure to hold on one moment while we close things out. Please do hold the line while you're online, checking out everything that there is to do with Gold Star families, how you can help them, how you can support them. Make sure to stop on by America Out Loud That is where you can find the work of Susan Price. That's where you can find some other great stuff about exactly what we're talking about. While you're online checking out America Out Loud, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer podcast. Dudes and Beer podcast is where you can find all of the episodes. That's where you can find our app. That's where you can find everything Dudes and Beer. Stop on by dudesandbeer.com/app and download our free app coming soon for, well, it'll all be rebranded for Christmas. Anyway, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Until next time, if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.